אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם בעמוד 454, מאמר שפחה כי תירש גבירתה.
The lesson is based on articles from Kabbalah for the student. You can download the book from our website and you can ask questions from kab.tv.
This is not an article really. Baal HaSulam wrote it to himself, so there are things here that perhaps in the final article would not appear.
You can ask questions at kab.tv and selected questions will be
on the other hand.
Again, we're reading the article Handmade, that shall inherit her.
We have to understand that these things and the issues in the article are very relevant. They're describing the content of the exile, the meaning of it, how to come out of it, and showing that we have to see how everything that is happening is not by chance, that might have been different, but there's a need and a purpose to anything and everything that happens and every action and every situation. And we only need to learn from this how, through our relation to what is happening, we go through it in an easy and pleasant way, and all of that is done not in order to just not suffer, but in order to bring contentment to the Creator. Well, we'll see that on the way, but let's continue, please. Let's start. This thing requires great explanation, he writes. What is that thing? The handmaid that is heir to her mistress. To make it clear to all, I shall choose to interpret the matter by what appears for us for this reason and extends for us here in the conduct of this world. Meaning, he says, what we're talking about is not somewhere up there, but it's here on the surface. What is the issue of handmaid that is heir to her mistress?
And the matter is that the higher things come and trickle down just as they are with branch, and here their power by cascading until their branches appear in this world, as it is written in the explanation of roots and branch as a whole.
The thing is that the higher roots extend their power by cascading until
this is similar to a heavy load which none can lift or move from place to place. Hence,
as a whole, the world
the advice is to divide the load into small parts and subsequently transfer them one at a time. It is similar in our matter, since the purpose of creation is invaluable because a tiny spark such as a person's soul can rise in its attainment higher than the ministering angels, as our sages said above about the verse, now it will be said to Jacob and to Israel, what has God wrought?
So the Creator wants to give to the creatures, and He created the will to receive in a coarse, thick way that is exactly as much as He wants to give. And He created the will to receive the creature to become like the Creator, like the thought of creation, being able to receive everything in that thought of creation, in that plan, process it, and receive and give back to the Creator. So the host wants the guest to be exactly like him, even though he is the initial force. And this process requires gradual, step-by-step corrections. Therefore, it's impossible to go through this journey to move from place to place, meaning to correct the Kli the Creator has created at once. We spoke about it before. It's because in this Kli, we have to examine, clarify, agree, and realize everything on our behalf and come to the exact same form of the Creator, starting from things that we don't have at all. We're actually a machine, besides that point that comes from the Creator as a spark. We are not familiar with that spark. We don't really know what it is, but it simply enlivens us towards resembling the Creator. What is that spark? We don't know. But there is something in me that doesn't let me calm down and rest until I come to resemble Him. If such a thing exists in a person, he must actualize it. He's not asked about this. But on the way, when he starts understanding some of this, then he has some free choice. And therefore, these are gradual corrections that we gradually add to the will to receive in order to build the forms of the Creator. We build the forms of the Creator from the will to receive, but it's from the spark and according to the program within the spark. The spark is the Shemot. It's the Rishimot, the recollections. Like a little ball that contains all of the Rishimot, all the recollections from now until the end of correction. Like a drop of semen. And that drop determines how much of desire should be added, in what way, at what step, and so on, until from that drop of semen an entire human being is built. So the correction is a gradual process, it is a complex process, and therefore everything divides into internality and externality. What else does he say here? That's it, until we reach it. What? If you ask exactly about that, nothing on the sides. So it's better that you'll sit down, because you want to ask for a long time, so it's probably unrelated. You, watch out. Yes. In that will that to receive that was created, is there any level of independence? Could be. We'll clarify on the way. Anything, any question about what we read so far? Okay.
The evolution of Israel, one at a time. This bounty will come to us only by developing one at a time. As in the above allegory, even the heaviest load can be lifted if we split it into pieces and raise them one at a time. Not only the general purpose comes to us in this manner, but even the physical purpose, which is but a preparation for the general purpose, comes to us through gradual and slow development. Hence the worlds have been divided into internality and externality, where each world contains illuminations suitable to operate in slow development, and these are called the internality of the world.
So everything that exists divides into two, internality and externality, the whole of reality. And the development is a gradual one. You can write down these guidelines. Niv, write it down. The whole of reality, good. All of reality equals internality plus externality. And the development is only gradual. There can't be a development that happens at once. As we said, by our development, we have to acquire something of the higher level. And this happens by integration, meaning by what we acquire going through us, through a processing. And then we, from the actions, we begin to understand the potential and the ability and the plan within the actions. And then these actions raise us to a higher level. It's like I do silly actions, you know, like a monkey, or I just repeat my daddy, what my daddy does. All of a sudden, I begin to realize, what is he doing? What for? Why is it this way and not in a different way? I also try all kinds of experiments, how to do this, how to do that. I begin to eventually be smarter than my daddy. Meaning, there's a gradual process of development here, because by the actions we acquire a new mind, and by this new awareness, this new level of awareness, we do actions again, but on a more conscious level. And then once again, from these actions, we build a new mind and a new awareness, and that's how it is every time. So there has to be a slow, gradual process of development in the creature. And the whole of reality is divided into internality and externality. Yes.
Yuval from Tivon is asking, is this gradual development, what is the first thing that comes?
No, don't ask anything that is unrelated. I'm asking you. I wish you would understand what's written here. Next.
The evolution, instantaneous evolution of the nations of the world, externality. Opposite them are illuminations that can only act instantaneously. Hence, they appear here in their worldly branches and are given control. Not only do they not correct, they ruin. Our sages call it unripe, as it is written concerning the tree of knowledge and Adam HaRishon, that they ate unripe fruit.
Meaning a very great light, which if it appears at once in the vessels can't accept it correctly, and so it poisons them. This is called unripe fruit. If it would enter as a result of correction, meaning first correcting the vessel and then entering and then correcting the vessel more and entering more, meaning dividing its actions by in a gradual way, correction, fulfillment, then everything would be okay. But if it enters without a correction first and enters all at once, of course, it causes death. It causes the breaking of the vessels.
This means that it is truly a dainty delight,
because it's the light of Ensof, the light of Chokhmah,
destined to delight man
in the end of correction,
but in the future, not at present, as it is still growing and developing.
Right, so it's by correction and fulfillment.
This is why they compared it to an unripe fruit, since the fig, too, which is the sweetest, daintiest fruit, when eaten prematurely, will upset one's stomach and he will die. Indeed, we should ask, who is the one who brings such an act into the world? After all, it is known that there is no action in our world that comes without the strike of a higher root. Know that this is what we call the dominion of the externality. As in the verse, God hath made even the one as well as the other.
Meaning there is the internality that evolves bit by bit according to its nature. And there is externality which evolves at once. It actually doesn't evolve. It just takes place at once. This is its nature. Again, we're talking about nature. Two types of vessels that behave in this way.
It contains a force that urges and rushes towards the revelation of the dominion of the internality, As our sages have said, I place upon them a king such as Haman, and he will force them to repent.
Interesting, right? Or isn't it? What is the need for Haman, then? Because Galgal Ta'anayim cannot evolve on their own because they are Chafetz Chesed, delighted in mercy. So, they don't have anywhere to evolve. It's like I live in the woods. I don't have anything. Great. I don't have any even a shirt. Great. How will you evolve? I don't need to evolve. I'm good where I am. Comes Haman and begins to push by suffering, by hatred, by various problems and troubles. Then Galgal Ta'anayim have no choice and they begin to evolve. This is called, I place upon you a king such as Haman, and by force, because by nature of Bina you don't want it to evolve, and yet now you're forced to evolve. So this Haman is a holy angel. Later he appears to be an angel. Although this is manifested as all the enemies and problems and hatred in the world.
About this topic of the...
If it's according to the text, you can ask.
You said that there is some source of a sun that we receive it when the Kli is prepared. Now, we're dealing with science, and actually we said that light is a certain determination in the Kli.
When the Kli discovers something that is not yet fitting for the according to the law of nature, it causes evil.
How can this be from scientific process point of view that this can happen?
Oh, you can find many such processes in nature where something has to be broken. I can build, you know, a big capacitor that will receive lightning and be filled by it, and then I'll use this energy to, you know, for a year, throughout a year. You know, in lightning there's lots of energy. Or I can't build this capacitor, this receptacle, and that lightning enters the system, my more gentle system, and it ruins it and destroys it. This is what's happening. This is what's happening with all the blows of nature. What is happening? I can use that energy, you know, and I wouldn't need to burn coal or gas or anything. If I could use nature's energy, the problem is we don't have such vessels. I only use a bit of the wind, a bit of the energy of the waves, heat and cold and sun, the thermal energy, the differences between heat and cold in the soil and the ocean. There's a lot of energy. You don't need any. You don't need to take any natural resources. But we can't because we don't have the tools for it. And the other way around, you see, when a hurricane comes, you see what is happening there in America, for instance. We can't use it. One hurricane, and, you know, for 10 years, the world could work without paying electricity, you know? It just goes to show how much we're lacking the vessels, the tools. So, what is the issue here? If we were able to receive that strike of hurricane, not at once, but in steps, in 10 years, then we would be able to absorb it, process it into electricity, and enjoy it. This is the whole matter of correction. These things are indeed not simple. They're very profound, and it relates to our life in every aspect. It's like how you get used to poison. kings or great people in the past used to, you know, get accustomed to poisons because people wanted to poison them, so they had to get used to the poison. So a person can get used to it and then develop an immunity to it. Everything can happen like that. Habit becomes a second nature and everything then works fine. Meaning a correction, if it's a correction process, it has to happen gradually in a constant ongoing manner. The question is, how will we go towards correction, because it's against our nature? And this is where the handmaid is heir to her mistress. That specifically the handmaid is what pushes the mistress to correction. Meaning that Israel, without the nations of the world, those who are directly towards the Creator, they cannot advance. They must have the negative force to push them. I'm telling you, if you see how this mechanism works, it's impossible otherwise. From the first Havaya, you're already clear on what will happen, and there's no other form that can lead to correction, only by the pressure of externality over internality.
What is Galdai Neinaim apathetic to Haman?
Why are they indifferent? Because it's Galgal Tanaim, Bina, she doesn't want anything. It's Chafetz Chesed, delighted in mercy. I don't even need a shirt, you understand the example? That's it. Yes, about this.
After Israel have attained the degree of Chafetz Chesed, what does Haman develop the nations of the world?
It's not written here yet.
It's still not clear how the will to receive leaves everything. It only stands in the way. It hurts all this graduality.
The will to receive that wants to receive everything at once exerts pressure on Galgal Ta'anayim. We'll see how, and then it forces them to advance.
According to the example you gave with the lightning, it's a good example. The moment I want to receive, the whole system burns down.
Because it's not ready, it's not prepared.
So it doesn't help this gradually, it simply destroys everything. This is how it sounds. If you want to develop gradually... So
if you have a receptacle like the planet that can absorb all the lightning, there's no problem. They accumulate within the planet to powerful energy, and it can bear them and be filled by it. What, you think the entire system is working towards balance? There's nothing that doesn't work towards balance. Everything that happens in nature is towards balance. There's a big plus up above and a big minus below, and they reach balance.
So exactly according to this scheme, how in a state where all of a sudden, suppose this whole system is going towards this minus instantaneously, trying to receive everything, how does it bring balance? It only causes chaos.
No, the fact that it tries to receive everything and it doesn't allow it to receive anything, then it turns to Galgal Ta'anayim and demands Galgal Ta'anayim, complaining to Galgal Ta'anayim. This is the complaint that the nations of the world have towards Israel. This awakens Israel to advance. That's it. We'll see in the following. It's there. It's later in the text. Yes.
You're saying that this is the law, that the internality develops gradually and the externality instantaneously.
No, the externality doesn't develop instantaneously. It wanted to develop like that in the sin of the tree of knowledge or the breakage of the vessels. It doesn't work. The externality wants to develop at once. It wants to swallow everything up because it's the nature of the vessel of reception. The internality, since it wants to bestow, it's willing to restrain itself, to stop itself, and only do actions that are weighed compared to the giver. How much can I bestow to him? That's why it's a gradual process. So internality and externality is a will to receive. Only there's a force in the internality, which is Galgal Te'anayim, to restrain itself, and then make actions of bestowal. So then I have to be limited, I have to be calculated, premeditated with a sense of judgment, and therefore the correction process is gradual, is slow. The externality doesn't have these restraints. It wants to swallow everything up. The problem is, I don't have anything to receive from, to get what I want to swallow. So then I turn to Galgal Te'anayim and I say, you are guilty, you are to blame, you cause all the evils in the world, because of you I don't receive, and so on and so forth. Yes.
I simply wanted, if you can give an example, like with the hurricane, how can we use such a great force gradually, only in the level of society, in the level of people, of human beings?
We will soon use the great force of society that will suffer even more and will realize that it's in a desperate state. Not like it feels like it's temporary, you know, like the politicians say, no, things are not exactly like this, not exactly like that, things are worse there but better here, and things like that, and they hide a couple of things, but it will come, those 7 years of hunger, so-called, and they'll see what it's about. It's not just, you know, all the climate issues and the crops and what's happening in the world. When it will happen, they will speak differently. And then you'll have the entire vessel of humanity, the big vessel, which is Achab, compared to those Bnei Baruch, which are everywhere in the world, which are very few, which is Galgal Te'anayim. Look at the proportion in terms of the quantity, how small it is, but what is the human with respect to the whole universe? It's even less. And then you'll see how that entire vessel is just willing to serve you. Specifically because they don't have anything, they will agree, they will pressure you to take them along with you to spirituality. This is called, as it writes, that the nations of the world will carry Israel on their shoulders, and you know, the men and women and so on. This, sure, there'll be no choice. They'll do it. But how much friction and suffering and problems and feuds between these and those will happen, this depends on dissemination of Kabbalah. He talks about it later on. No, let's continue. We'll ask more questions later.
The internality are the people of Israel. Once we have clarified the higher roots, we will clarify the branches in this world. Know that a branch that extends from the internality is the people of Israel, which has been chosen as an operator of the general purpose and correction. It contains the preparation required for growing and developing until it moves the nations of the world to achieve the common goal. Again, the internality are the people of Israel. Once we have clarified the higher roots, we will clarify the branches in this world. Know that the branches that extends from the internality is the people of Israel, which has been chosen as an operator of the general purpose and correction. It contains the preparation required for growing and developing until it moves the nations of the world to achieve the common goal.
Meaning, there is a clear distinction between Galgal Te'anayim and Achab. Galgal Te'anayim and Achab. Let's write it like this so everyone can see what we're talking about. And so these are called Israel, and these are called nations of the world, or world. World, okay. Nations, okay, whatever. So, this is the proportion here. This is Bina, and this is the entire vessel of reception, the Kli Kabbalah. After, what does he say? After we clarified the higher roots, meaning the structure of the whole of reality, this entire vessel is the general vessel. We will clarify the branches in this world, that in this world they divide that way as well. Now we have to understand that Israel, meaning those who came from Babylon with a point in the heart, those who had a point in the heart throughout history went through many changes, and now we're talking about those who have a point in the heart that appears, that surfaces, and those who don't have a point in the heart that already surfaced, but still they're called Israel or Jewish and so on. Meaning they have a point in the heart, but let's signify it as a question mark. They still don't understand it, and they're not aware of it. And soon we'll talk about them too. So he says, you should know that a branch that extends from the internality is the people of Israel, which has been chosen as an operator of the general purpose and correction, and it contains the preparation required for growing and developing until it moves the nations of the worlds to achieve the common goal. Meaning, the obligation of correction is up to Israel. The nations of the world here are passive. Passive, yeah. Is this clear? This has all sorts of implications. We're not talking about that, but the fact that Israel must and owes to everyone, that's clear from here. And the rest of humanity don't owe anything to anyone. Therefore, there's no complaint towards humanity that they need to change. If they will change without us disseminating the wisdom of Kabbalah to them, it's to our own detriment, because we don't realize the purpose of creation, the plan of creation. Once we have gotten the wisdom of Kabbalah into our hands, we must immediately, directly spread it to the nations of the world, because the entire correction happens from us. Okay? This is how it happens, through Galgalta Enayim, and they must share it forward with a chup.
Only one thing doesn't fit here. It seems, according to what he writes about the roots and the branches, that there was never a meeting in the branches between the Galgalta and Naim and the Achab. And then the role, there's a different role to the Galgalta and Naim and the Achab. They were never in contact.
What's written that you're asking about it?
It's not written here at all that there is Israel and the nations of the world.
So why do you bring me your theory now? There was contact, there was no contact. Where do you take it from?
There was never any connection between them.
What is the text that you're asking about? If there's no text, don't ask about it. What do you mean there was no correct connection? From the shattering of the vessels, there was no contact. The greatest contact there is the shattering of the vessels. Galgalta and Achab, Galgalta Enayim and Achab got mingled so much that there is no grain of one that doesn't integrate with the other. What do you mean no contact? On the contrary, now you need a great force that will create this separation, this distinction, this separation between Galgalta Enayim and Achab. You need a very great light to separate between them. What do you mean no contact? On the contrary, In everything you have plus and minus. There's nothing that exists without the two. Whether it's in the inanimate, vegetative, animate, or human level. And they're all mingled and mixed with each other so much that you can't tell the difference, that you can say where is one and where is the other, especially in our qualities. This is why our entire work is a work of scrutiny. When we start making, seeing the difference, oh, this is called good, this is called bad, recognition of evil. How does it happen? This requires a great work of scrutiny and the light that clarifies all that. Look at chemistry and how much we need all those reactive substances and like acids and so on in order to separate substances. 90% of the science is just about how to separate substances and see how they're comprised and what they're made of and how they influence each other and so on. Oh, what are you talking about? It's the foundation of everything. In technology as well, why are we drawn to, you know, the entire work we do in technology is first extracting natural resources, then putting them together only later according to the needs we have. Okay, the externality are the nations of the world, so the internality are the people of Israel, the externality are nations of the world. This is what he writes here. Yes.
The branch that extends from the externality is the nations of the world. They have not been imparted the qualities that make them worthy of receiving the development of the purpose one at a time. Rather, they are fit to receive the correction at once and to the fullest, according to their higher root. Hence, when they receive dominion from their root, they destroy the virtues in the children of Israel and cause suffering in the world.
The externality are the nations of the world. The branch that extends from the externality is the nations of the world, those who didn't come out of Babel with Abraham, if we're talking about the branches, those who didn't become part of that group of Kabbalists who went through various changes. They have not been imparted the qualities that make them worthy of receiving the development of the purpose one at a time. Rather, they are fit to receive the correction at once and to the fullest, according to their higher root. Hence, when they receive dominion from their root, they destroy the virtues in the children of Israel and cause suffering in the world. Meaning, the dominion of the nations of the world over Israel is that they want to receive everything at once. By that, they break the approach of Israel, and because the vessels are not ready yet, it causes all the harms in the world, because the world was built in order to receive gradual corrections and then fulfillments. First recognition of evil, then correction, then fulfillment. And if these actions don't happen, and they can be divided into many more sub-actions, but all in all, it's move away from evil and do good. And otherwise, you cause all the disasters.
There's a confusion in me.
Just ask and that's it, without introductions.
I want to understand, according to what is written about the nations of the world, in the inner level, I identify with them more. In my nature, I want to receive everything. And as you describe them, and we're Israel.
Who is Israel? Who do you see here as Israel?
I don't know. There's something called Golgotha and I'm something you called Israel.
I'm looking at you. Do you belong to Israel? You're Pharaoh. You're also, you know, just like him, sitting and looking at me just like him all the time.
I knew you were going to do that to me.
Right. It's similar to the Sphinx. He's similar to it, no?
Say what? How can I
say
anything now?
Say, come on.
But seriously, that's the question. You explain about the internality and the externality.
Wait. Let's put things in order. You're right. No, I'm just kidding. Let's put things in order. The The laughter is in order to clean your head a little bit, to shake you up a little bit. So there's what I drew here, right? Galgalta enayim and the chap. This is in spirituality. And when we read in the Zohar all the other books, we're talking about the spiritual world, the roots. As a result of the roots, in our world, there are branches. What are the branches? These roots operate, and here they create a replication. It's like, say, you have something that exists in a computer, and from the computer, it's then displayed on the screen. And on the screen, you're seeing what's in the computer, but you're seeing it in a different way, in a way that is comfortable for you to be able to see. So you're looking at the screen, and what you're seeing there are people, just, you know, visual forms. In these forms, some are projected from the parts of Galgalta Enayim, some are projected from Achap. These and those, where does it come from? Because there in spirituality, there is a separating force called Avram. Avram, Abraham, he clarified from all the vessels who belongs to Galgalta Enayim, who belongs to Achap, at the root. So then in our world, two groups were made. One called Yashar Kel, Israel, directly to the Creator, and the other is called Achap, the nations of the world. And then whatever happens, happens, but it all stems from the roots. So, here he wants to show you how those roots that exist in the computer, and according to the program there, they are processed in order to come to some conclusion and final step of the program, how in our world, meaning on the display, on the monitor, you see these two groups and their interrelations. And according to these relations, you can learn the roots, or you rise to the roots and learn the branches. This is what he tells you. That's it. So it depends on... Don't get confused. Either you're talking about what's in the computer, which is Galgalta Enayim, Achap, Bina, Malchut, all those things, or you're talking about people in this world, which are certainly operated by the same Galgalta Enayim and Achap, but you're already referring to them as, you know, faces and people, and you relate all kinds of things to them. What's the difference now? Still, there's a difference between what's in the computer and what's shown on the screen. You know what? Carrying out the role, the execution of the role. Because one who is on the monitor level has a free choice to actualize its role. And who has that? The Israel part on the monitor. In the computer, there's nothing. It's all predetermined 100%. Thou hast hemmed me in behind and before. It's all done, written. But on the monitor, there's a difference between these and those. Just like in the computer, right? Israel and the nations of the world. Okay, this is your monitor. Here, you see Israel and the nations of the world. Let's say, you know, it's like a cinema screen. So here comes this ray, this beam of light from this root and from that root. And this is where the computer is. And in the computer, there's also, actually it's better to sketch it like this, not like this, but let's do it like this. Galgalta Enayim and the Achap. That's it. What's the difference? Here it's all determined. Here, in the monitor, which is this world, and the computer, we understand it's the world of Atzilut, let's say. What's the difference? Here there's a difference. The difference is very unique. That between these and those, there's a difference. There's this delta, which is the choice. How do you say choice in English? Choice. There's a shoe brand called Choice. Okay, so we have a choice. Huh? What?
Tov.
Okay. So this is the difference that this is called Israel, who have a choice, and the nations of the world who don't. Now, of course, the complaint is towards Israel, and it's a correct complaint, both from the nations of the world and from the Creator. Behind all of this is the Creator, Creator. So, who is the problem here? This Israel. This is what we're dealing with. It needs to lead the world to correction, to show everyone what is good and what is evil, to show the program of creation to everyone. It owes and is responsible for everyone. Can it take pride in owing that and having that special work called the work of the Creator, or throw away all those things and say, it doesn't belong to me? But in everything that we can discuss here, there's actually one point around which everything is spinning, revolving, for better or for worse, depending on how you take it. And we see that throughout all of history. Yes, Shiovitz.
Also in the positive direction, there are similar processes in nature. When there's an accumulative gradual process which comes to a sudden change in a different level, like he says, that like in the negative part, there's the nations of the world, let's say it's a harm in one time, they want to receive. There are also similarity in opposite processes, meaning that the accumulative gradual change comes to a positive change all at once.
Right, yes. But again, Israel today is a result of the breakage of the vessels. And as it's written, the Israel only went out to the exile in order to integrate, to attach the vessels of the world. Meaning, one who awakens today, according to his awakening, is called Israel. Just like it happened in Babylon. Those who were awakened were joined to the process. So who is called Israel, whether from the origin or right now? Those who are drawn to the work of the Creator, those who are drawn to understand what is the plan of creation, what is the purpose, how to actualize it, and I have to do that. I can't even run away from that. That's my life. This person is called Israel. Therefore, today, after the entire process of integration, when we talk about everything that happened so far as a preparation, from this point on, it's according to those who have an awakening. And they have to be all have to be seen as partners on this path. So, that's it. Say a few announcements.
Okay, so a few announcements. The truth, you should reveal it. An open day in the Kabbalah Academy. Before the new year of the Kabbalah Academies, we invite you to the introductory lecture on Monday, 6:30 p.m. in all the branches of the Kabbalah Academy throughout Israel. Details at 1-700-509-209 or kab.coil. Kabbalah Experience in Rehovot next Tuesday, September 4th at 7 p.m. We're going to have our weekly meeting with Rav Lightman in Rehovot. It will be broadcasted on Kab TV. Admission is free. Connecting in the north, dear friends, before the beginning of the new year, we meet the whole masculine clique for a uniting convention in the north. We're going to have lessons, workshops, a mutual demand from Thursday till Saturday night. It's up in the north. Details and registration at 1-700-209 and at cab.coil. Thank you and have a lovely, lovely day.
פתאום רואים
ואם ההר עוטף אותך בצל אתה לבד תועה בערפל
תיתן לי יד ביחד נתגבר אור אחד ניצוץ בערפל המנהרה נראית ללא קצה דווקא אז אז הוא מתגלה ואם החול כיסה את הפנים במרום קבוע כוכבים אם העולם שבור לרסיסים יש אור אחד והוא תמיד יחד